rifling through those
Hello
long
and
boxes.
Welcome to The Cosmic Force, a weekly breakdown of the latest Star Wars comics, brought to you by the Utini Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jacob, joined by my good friend, Oz and Caleb. This week we're diving into Mace Windu number 3,
your home for Star Wars comics,
Saber for Hire number 1, and more in-depth reaction analysis. Just a quick heads up, this episode is brought to you by Bounty Hunter, the Utini Podcast.
And now, here are your hosts, Parker Kirk, Caleb Laminet, and Jacob Bosch.
It's been a nice week. How are you all doing?
Going great. Yeah, pretty excellent. Pretty excellent so far.
Awesome. Well, we got some fun comics to talk about. It could be a good one. We also have some fun news, but first, before we get to that, we're going to hit quickly what we've been reading. I guess for me, I just finished school. Like, literally yesterday was my last day of school.
I was about to say, you're holding out on the list.
Yeah. So last day of school, turned in a giant paper that was not good, but it's over. And got a couple finals left, but we're nearing the home stretch before I graduate. And then basically just do school for 2 months as I study for the bar. So it'll be fun. 3 months, but, you know, it'll be fun. But, yeah, what I've been reading, I jumped into The Living Force because I have not had time to really get into that until now. So I'm only like 3 chapters in, which is like 25 pages. But it's been fun so far. I miss John Jackson Miller. So,
yeah, that book went to the Light of the Jedi school of chapter length. I think there are 60-ish chapters in the book, and a lot of them are like 4 or 5 pages, which makes you feel accomplishing something. Like, I was in the waiting room at the doctor's office today and knocked out 2 chapters. So I was like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, it makes you feel good. It like gets you in like a nice tempo of like, oh, I can, you know, like you get to the point where like maybe I want to stop reading, and you're like, well, how many pages are left in this chapter? And it's like 6. And it's like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah. Plus there's 12 point of view characters, and maybe Obi-Wan at the beginning too, or Qui-Gon, I guess. So there's a lot to juggle, but I'm really digging it. I'm slowly getting through it myself.
Awesome.
And then I'll just continue on, I guess. Yeah. I'm reading that. I also finally picked up, last week I was in New York City, so I went to Midtown Comics because I've bought a lot of stuff on their website. Never been
for sure.
I don't know if it was their flagship. It was the one near Times Square. So
yeah, there's 3 stores. I think I've been to 2 of them. Yeah.
But I was like, I'm gonna check it out, and it was cool. But I finally picked up Hyperspace Stories Volume 2, which I don't know when that came out, and the third volume is forthcoming.
Yeah, I would guess probably like 2 or 3 months ago, maybe.
Yeah. I think it was January. I looked it up, but that series kind of came very sporadically, so I didn't keep up with it. It was a neat 4 neat issues. There was some cool stuff in there. They're nothing groundbreaking. I think the old IDW Adventures books a little more, but also they were coming out every month. So this one, the pace has sort of killed it. I look forward to sitting down and reading the 12 issues in maybe timeline order, because there's a connective tissue. I don't know. Maybe when the third volume comes out, we'll do an episode about
that'd be fun.
We didn't really talk about it much as it was coming out, since there were maybe some bigger things going on that were actually being released.
Yeah, I've also read the two trade paperbacks that are out so far, and yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a good time. So we'll have to see when that comes back.
We get a stinky appearance for Clone Wars fans.
Oh yeah.
Rod of the Hutt shows up in the Jabba issue. He's like newborn at that time. And Jabba's actually a really good dad, turns out.
Yeah.
Or at least a very caring father.
He's an all right dad. So
Yeah. Let's not go too far.
Yeah. Caleb, what have you been up to reading wise?
A lot, actually. Let's start with the Star Wars here. I've been going through, what is this? Tales of the Jedi Volume 3, the collection here. This is the, Exar Kun and Ulakudroma. It's really, really good. It's making me want to replay the Old Republic again. Yeah, it's there's a lot of fantastic character moments. I've never actually read through this here, so I know the story beats. I'm like, know like, oh, Exar Kun's gonna be a bad guy, Ulak's gonna turn bad with him, but I think there's like a redemption arc in there. It's really fascinating. The artwork is very like super mid-90s, but it's kind of a fun to see someone like read this. And this is like a minor thing, but I do like how they're talking about like the Jedi, and this is, remember, this is pre-episode 1, so you know there really was no foundation.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Star Wars time. I'm like, yeah, I mean, 4,000 years pre-episode
Oh,
one, but also
but
it was
yeah.
physically was printed pre-episode one.
Like not just into like mid-90s there. So it's kind of fascinating the way they talk about Jedi and like the way that they must have imagined Jedi then is like, hey, like this is more of like a like the master and apprentice thing is like super important. So like, you know, there's no talk of Jedi temples, just mainly like, hey, like this guy trained this guy, trained this guy, and then these three people were trained by that guy. So it's like, you know, they're all Jedi, but it's all like every single Jedi was his own little college there.
You'll see it. You'll see some temples eventually, but
Yeah, I think they'll get to it eventually, but it definitely seems like a lot more disorganized, and like the Jedi are just like wearing like just normal random clothes and like, you know, shoulder pads and things.
yeah,
Yeah,
it's a
that's
very
one of
fun
the
series.
things that always fascinates me about the old EU, which I have not read a ton of myself, but just that like they were shooting from the hip. There were no rules written and like not even like precedent set. So they just got to kind of make it up. And back then people, you know, weren't chronically online, so they weren't having to get fact checked by nerds like us all the time. And I think there's something cool about that. It's something that wouldn't really work anymore because we all expect a strict canon and all that. But it is fun, a fun little time capsule.
For sure. Yeah, no, it's great. I recommend everyone read it, and it's coming out in a omnibus form later this year, so it'll be fun.
Soonish, yeah, yep.
Yeah, we
So
do have a decent amount of news to get through, or not decent, but one giant piece of news, and that is we got a announcement for a new High Republic Adventures miniseries, Echoes of Fear. It's coming out August 21st as of right now, written by George Mann with art from Vincenzo Federici. And oh yeah, Oz just added another news item that I forgot about that I'll pull up as I talk about it. But yeah, so we have a it's a about Reese Silas and Amadeo Azazo, our favorite little glups. Well, a glup and a main character. They're going into the Jedi archives to discuss more about the mysterious Echo Stones and their force amplifying powers. In their search, they uncover the dark legend of the ancient Sith Lord Darth Ravi and his quest to solve an ancient puzzle that could grant him power beyond imagining or destroy him utterly. So this is a heavy reference, a lot of reference to Quest of the Jedi, the one shot from Phase Two.
which did finally come out, as
It
much as we
did
joke
come out
about it.
for real. It was a because the Echo Stone is in that, and Darth Ravi is mentioned kind of offhand as going after it at one point. And also another character who is on the trail of this mystery was Aslan Rael, who obviously all of these characters are going to be in the book also by George Mann coming out this fall. So probably going to tie in pretty well. I'm very excited for this. I'm hoping we maybe get some more Barnabas Vim content. So it'll be pretty dope.
That would be, I didn't even think about that. We might see Barnabas.
At least in a flashback or something.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be cool to kind of recontextualize Quest of the Jedi now that we're so far removed from waiting for it. Because when they announced that at Celebration, we all thought this is going to be the big story of Phase Two, and it's not, which is fine. But like, it was sort of weird that it was named after the phase. It came out, I think, maybe after almost everything else was out. And it was a flashback to 100 years before. So it felt really disconnected, even though there were some ties, obviously, including Ty Yorick. But now it seems like they're finally going to follow up on it, which is great.
It was a super dope like single issue in a vacuum. Like, and the art
Yeah,
was
it's
amazing.
cool. I just reread it last week. I think to prep for some book that was coming out, and then it was not important, which is fine. That's half the time I do like prep reading, it's irrelevant. And that just means I get to read something that I liked.
Yeah, sure. But another news item that I almost forgot about that got some help with here. We have a brand new mini series coming out in the I think late summer. I believe it's out in July. And that yeah, July 3rd. That is the Star Wars Inquisitors mini series written by Rodney Barnes with art from Ramon Rosanas. Looks super dope. The cover has Grand Inquisitor, Fifth Brother, Seventh Sister question mark, and Third Sister with the one from Fallen Order. Anyways, not Trilla, but the big Doeaten one.
Yeah.
They are being
Nine.
some Inquisitors sent out by the Emperor to track down and kill any Jedi who survived Order 66. They're going after one specific Jedi, Tensu Run, who I looked up, I don't think has ever showed up before, so a new character. And find out what became of him and why the Empire fear him so greatly. So, yeah, Inquisitors.
Exactly. It's also going to be another 4-issue run, right?
Yeah,
I don't.
4 issues.
Did they say four specifically?
The
Oh, yeah, it says
solicit
one of
came
four.
out today. The original article didn't. The solicit is also, at least the first issue is 40 pages. So it's like,
That's a beefy one.
it's almost
Whoa.
a 5-issue series. And I never know if the page count and the solicits include the ads or not, but it is still larger than a typical issue. I think some people talk too much about like importance and whether or not things matter, but I kind of want to say this is one of the like most significant comic stories we've gotten in a long time. At least it has the potential to be, because a lot of stuff is sort of dancing around telling, random stories about Mace Windu or Jango Fett, but this is like characters that we have never explored outside of the TV shows. And some of them are brand new. I was about to say we're gonna get Merrick, but no, that's in Tales of the Empire. We might get Merrick content, who
You never
knows?
know.
Anyway, we're
About to
getting
say.
some Grand Inquisitor, we're getting Mesana Tide. That's right, I use her government
Oh,
name.
wow.
And,
Like, we've never seen anything from their point of view before.
right, other than, I mean, we had
Rebels
the
kind
book,
of was for fifth and seventh, but yeah.
right, and we had the book, which was not, that was whichever Iscat.
Rise of Red Blade,
Iscat,
yeah.
who's like, she ended up being like 12th sister or something like that,
Yeah,
right?
they sort of backed themselves into a corner with the numbering system. I don't think they've fully
Right.
had a plan, so they've had to kind of tweak it. Anyway, I'm super stoked for this. The cover is by Nick Bradshaw, who's long been a favorite artist of mine. I wish he was doing the interiors, but
They also have a Walt Simonson variant, which is super cool to see someone coming back from like 70s Marvel.
yeah, it's and I dig it. I like the way he draws Grand Inquisitor. And then also Alex Maleev, sick ass Grand Inquisitor cover that sort of blends the Rebels design and the Obi-Wan Kenobi design for he sort of rounds off the head, but it's still tall.
For sure.
Also, I don't know if you mentioned it, but Rodney Barnes wrote Lando Double or Nothing.
Correct.
So we have seen him before. That was several years ago now.
Did he write one of the War of the Bounty Hunters one shots, maybe? Did he make
IG-88.
IG-88? Yeah.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, it'll be exciting. More Star Wars comics, because we're kind of getting to the point where it seems like there could be a gap in publishing, but we're getting some miniseries at least to round us out. So it's exciting. Another solicit thing that I don't normally mention solicits because we'll see all these stories eventually. The Darth Vader solicit, I think number 47 or 48, mentioned Luke having to save Warba. And I checked, and there's no other Warba but the girl who lives on Jeddah in the 2015 comic series at like kind of the end of the run, who is one
Yeah,
of my favorite characters at the time.
that was the final arc. I looked
Yeah.
because when you said Warba, I was like, who?
Who? Yeah.
And then I looked up, I was like, oh yeah,
Like, I
I remember
always
that.
remember her if only because she was in that Phil Noto era right there at the
Yes,
end, so everyone looked
exactly.
really good.
I was gonna
Yeah.
say exactly that. I looked it up. Phil Noto came up. I'm like, oh hell yeah.
Yeah, she's like one of my favorite glups, and to see her maybe potentially coming back is kind of wild. So, yeah. But a
She'll be
lot
right
of.
there with Padme.
Yeah, Sabe's also in that
Or
issue, so,
Sabe. Obviously not Padme.
I mean, same thing. Whatever, that's fine.
At this point.
But yeah, so all exciting news, good comics to come. But we have two comics still to talk about and not the most time in the world. So let's get into it. We have Mace Windu number three, The Run, written by Mark Bernardin, art from Georges Genti and Dexter Vines, and the colors from Andrew Dollhouse. So Caleb, what happens in this issue?
All right. After exiting the ice tunnels, Mace and Azita grab a speeder and rush off across the tundra to the spaceport. On the way, they are attacked by the refinery police and then by Yaya Sham, the bounty hunter working for Jabba. Calling upon the Force, Mace cuts down half a dozen airborne speeders as they arrive at the radical spaceport. But as they do, they board their ship and are confronted by the two Dusk Weavers as they begin their attack.
Short and sweet. This was a fun issue. We got to hear a lot more about the Oh gosh, my mind went blank for a
Azita
second.
Cruz.
Azita Cruz's backstory on Harun Kal, which again, if you remember, is where Mace is born from as well. I've not read Shatterpoint from Legends. I feel like that would probably maybe color my analysis of this a little bit more. But I still really like their dynamic more in this issue, I think.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's.
Oh.
Oh, Caleb
Longest
looks
time,
frozen.
which definitely makes it go a little bit quicker, I feel like.
Yeah, sorry, I think we lost you for a sec there, Caleb, but.
Yeah, I think I've had a bad connection here for the last second, but yeah, as I said, it's definitely there's less dialogue in the issue too, right?
Yeah, it's a very quick one.
For sure.
I think that's my one kind of, I don't know if gripe's even too strong a word, but just that like this we're 3 quarters of the way through. It feels very quick. Like it
Yeah.
doesn't feel like we've gotten to sit with this story and these characters much. There's been a lot happening because they're like always on the move, which is fun. But I wish it was longer. That's, I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, I
Like, I feel
agree.
like, oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, like I agree with like the pacing. Like I wish we had a little bit more time, and it's also like I wish we had more time, but at the same time, I know we have the wrinkle thrown at the end of the issue, but you could like realistically tell me that he's gonna like fight them real quick, win, and then they're gonna fly back to Coruscant and it's all over, and then that's it. And that feels a w little weird to me, if that makes
Right, which
sense.
is, I mean, kind of what happened with the little Anzellan guy. What's his name again?
Oh yeah,
Oh,
Yahya
Sham.
Shram.
Yahya Shram. I mean, when he showed up in this issue, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot about him from that like one panel he was in issue two. And I think he's, you know, I love those little guys and he's got a fun name and everything, but he just shows up and they sort of obliterated him. He got sent off and he said like, you haven't seen
Most
the last of me.
comical ending to this, to like a character. Like I'm sure he's alive, but
Yeah, it
Mace
was like a
hops on
little.
it. He hops on his ship and just pops his like ejector seat.
Yeah, which I mean, he's a tiny little guy. And then he just says, you haven't seen the last of Yahya Shram, which I feel like we have for this story. I don't really see time for him to show back up. And I don't know, maybe he could.
I'm gonna call my shot. Mace is gonna defeat these dudes at the Dusk Weavers at the end or at the beginning of the next issue, and then they're like getting on a ship, and Yaya Shram is gonna try and like stop them before they get to hyperspace or something like that.
I know we know covers lie, but he's fighting a completely different dude on the cover of issue four.
Yeah, a
Like
little
he's a
Deveronian guy.
Deveroni. Okay, so like what I'm thinking is, you know, we've kind of had a fun transition here. Like issue one, we start deep underground in that city. Then issue two was all about them crawling through these like ice tunnels. Issue three is a race across the tundra. Issue four is going to be like 90% in space, I think. It's going to get up into space and it's going to have like a big space action adventure moments in
Interesting.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got these, what are they called? Dust weavers? Dark dusk weavers. They feel like they should be significant, like they're a big player here, but we just know so little about them.
I definitely feel like this is almost being run like a Dungeons and Dragons one shot. Like,
Yeah, it's
our writer
like
here,
three
Mark
quick
Burnside,
encounters.
had like one idea. It's like, hey, I got a really short, simple, sweet story. I can do it in 4 issues and just be done and have like a really satisfying thing. I feel like maybe that's why we feel weird, is like we feel like there needs to be one more big twist, one more big turn. But I don't think we're going to get that. I think we're going to have a kind of a quickish resolution after issue four. And then that'll be it.
I think my thing more is like we're also like setting up all these interesting elements that could support like an at least 12 issues. Like
Right.
like you could have tell really cool stories with like Azita Cruz and Mace Windu like on like a few different missions, and the Dusk Weavers like for some reason just constantly after them. But we're not gonna do that. It's only 4 issues,
Right.
so
It feels like the first 3 issues of an ongoing series. And
right.
hey, maybe there's
Do
a
it.
Mace Windu 2 coming out. You know, if they can split Thrawn Alliances in half.
We can't go back down this road again this week,
Yeah, I
but
just had to
agreed.
mention it. But otherwise, I mean, no, a cool issue. I still love the art. Like, this is some of my favorite art we've seen in a long time. because it stands out so much from everything else we've gotten. But right. it works great. There's that, and now it sort of messes with the pacing. There's two big full page spreads, but the second one, the one with him just on the ship with his lightsaber out, uh-huh. that's just pure Mace.
Like it also it reminds me of the Ahsoka from Clone Wars season 7, where she's like hopping all the ships on the way down to Mandalore.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, I really like this issue overall. Yeah, I just wish we had a little bit more of it.
But it sort of goes back to like when what I mentioned with the Inquisitors, how that series feels like it could be really important. This is like the opposite of that, which again isn't a bad thing. It's just like this is when it's all said and done, if it ties up nicely, it's like that's a cool quick Mace adventure. If you like Mace, check this out. But if you miss it, then you're not gonna like not be able to follow the story of Mace Windu.
Right.
It almost feels like something out of like hyperspace stories, and that it's so like inconsequential, you know?
Right.
Yeah. But you have to imagine that Azita Cruz is not about to revolutionize all of hyperspace right now. Since it's pre episode one, but you never know.
Which never speaking do. Of hyperspace stories, Mace Windu is getting one of those graphic novels.
Dude, that's never coming out.
2026.
So hey, we could maybe see more Azita Cruz from that one. I don't know if we know who's writing it yet, but
no, they like only assigned like two of the writers, so we have no idea.
Anyway, another rabbit hole we don't need to go back down.
Right. But
I definitely feel like that Shram is going to be Mark Bernardine's like glove shadow. Like every time he writes something, Shram's gonna
come
in.
I definitely see that.
I love that. I really do. I think you're right. He's kind of like who's the new guy, Rick Duel, the new old guy. Maybe Yaya and Rick Duel end up together because Yaya works for Jabba. I believe Rick Duel works for Jabba. I mean obviously
exactly.
Now there's a possibility. Now I'm thinking.
I would love to see like Yaya Shram become Mark Bernardine's was it Papa Torin, whatever the dude that Charles Soule uses all the time, or
exactly. Our Kevin Scott's Jackson.
Yeah. I didn't even know who Papa Torin was.
He's in Lando and Poe Dameron.
He's in a bunch of stuff.
And yeah, I think probably some of the 2020 stuff at some point.
Yep.
Especially it's kind of brilliant that he set him up in Poe Dameron first and killed him off in Poe Dameron's story, so that every time we saw him in Lando first, and then he killed him off in Poe Dameron's story, but then it's like, well, I have like 40 years of like stories to write with this guy and where I can't kill him off, so
yeah, there you go. Any other final thoughts on Mace Windu?
Nope.
I'll just say maybe issue 4 will have like 6 lines of dialogue if we keep this trend going, you know?
Well, this episode is brought to you again by Bounty Hunt, a Utini podcast all about Star Wars television. It's been a blast this season. By the time you're listening to this, we're about a week away, I think, from the final episode. So it's going to be super exciting. We are attempting to do a live recording of that in the Discord. So make sure you hop into the Utini Discord server so you can join the crew, including Oz, myself, and JG, and talk all about this great season, this great series we've had with the Bad Batch. But don't worry, we will not be gone for long with Tales of the Empire and Acolyte quickly on its tail. So if you are all about Star Wars television, you really like all the stories they're telling there, head on over to the Bounty Hunt podcast. At least right now, we're for this season, we are out on Thursdays for Bad Batch. So yeah, check that out. Okay, we have one more issue today, and that is the Saber for Hire issue. We are back with Ty York. This one is a nice mini series from Dark Horse, written by Kevin Scott with art from Rachel Stott and colors from Nicola Riki. So, Caleb, what happens in this one?
From the top. All right. We have two plot lines. This one starts with Kip So, the son of the Chancellor, coming back from a year-long camping trip with his boyfriend, Jom Lauren, on Appatin. When they finally get back to civilization, they kind of realize that they've been behind a Nihil occlusion zone for the last year, and that you know if the Nihil haven't barred them yet, maybe they won't, but you know, we all know that's hopeful thinking there. Meanwhile, in the mud fields of Boren, Ty York and her squire Druwin slay a beastie, a Tarak. It seems that there's no shortage of these jobs since the Nihil have taken over, and that Ty is really raking in the cash. Druwin, however, hits a nerve when they get to their next planet, by bringing up Tai's late master, Chibaba. Tai, kind of in a huff, leaves and goes to the village and learns that the monsters that she's been tracked are, hired to track down and kill are Nihil themselves, and that they are kidnapping the Force-sensitive children of the village.
Yeah, this was cool.
This kicks butt. It was like really, really well done. Really, I always forget how much I love Tai York whenever, I'm not directly in front of her, but like her dynamic is such a great it makes for such great stories.
It feels like a really nice, just kind of natural continuation from what we had with Monster of Temple Peak in phase one. So yeah, I'm happy to get back to the story. And also with maybe the colorists might be different, but exact the same creative team
Yeah,
outside that.
that which is great. I didn't realize. I mean, I know we've seen her. We saw her technically briefly in Nameless Terror, and she had a story in Rancor Pit. But it's been almost 3 years since Temple Peak finished. So like, it's been a long time without a Tai York story.
Yeah, a while since she's
And
been like the main focus of one.
was about to say, she was in Rising
right,
Storm to an extent.
yeah, which I Temple Peak I think came out after.
Yes, yeah.
Regardless of that, it's good to have her back. It's good to see Kevin and Rachel teaming up again. I was excited for this because I liked the other ones. I know I just oh Temple Peak and Nameless Terror, but like this was really great. It was cool to open on Kip and Jom because I
Also
was like,
characters we have not seen in an eternity.
right, a very long time. They
And almost thematically there because they've just been on
they've just been camping.
yeah.
For a year?
Yeah, which really, I guess
No,
like
well, it's
2 years
longer than that, yeah. 'Cause I
because
mean
the
we
Republic Fair is a year before Fallen Star, or roughly a year, I think.
I think no, I think it was a year between Light of the Jedi and Rising Storm, and then like 3 months between Rising
Okay.
Storm and anyway, still it's been a while.
So like 15 galactic months, let's say. I forgot that his boyfriend's name was Jom, which is way too similar to Ram Jamaram, however you say his name. And so it trips me up every time, but it's great to pick up with them. The weird thing about them, I know they've been camping. They did not seem to be aware at all of what's been going on
Oh
for
no.
It definitely seems like what they haven't decided, hey, I should call my mom.
past. Yeah, or like, I don't know, gone into town once.
I think they've been into town. Well, because like the way they're talking is it seems like my assumption is we are in the timeline of Eye of Darkness and the Stormwall just moved over them. And so they
Yeah.
like kind of knew that the Nihil were like, out in their own section of space, but probably just weren't really seeing them locally.
I guess that's probably true. I was thinking they were probably already in the OZ, but I bet you're right that they were not. Yeah, but so now, they're in the thick of it. We get that nice little sort of, I don't know, flashback memory panel of Kip and his mom, which I love Lena so. Good to see her.
For
Good
sure.
stuff.
Yeah, no, I really like this one. And then yeah, just kind of talking a little bit more about Tai York and her thing. I feel like she despises Druin, or at least like it's struggling to tolerate that kid.
Yeah, I mean, she's never been a fan. I went back after reading this yesterday and checked out the Nameless Terror, just the framing sequence. Because he's only in like the last page or last couple pages. He shows up on her quest, and it's her droid that calls Druin in, and he's like, "Hey, I found an old friend for you." She sort of sarcastically calls him Padawan, which he mentions here, but she doesn't want anything to do with this.
Yeah.
I
So of course that's gonna be the plot of the series is learning to tolerate him, probably.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he's force sensitive. Do we know that? I did not reread Temple Peak.
I don't
I
remember.
don't think so. I think he's just like a Jar Jar-esque character, kind of a mildly useful but mostly comic relief sort of dude.
He can
Yeah.
turn invisible, so that's pretty dope.
That was one of my favorite bits of art, was where he was invisible and then covered in
The
mud.
mud, yeah. That
You
looked
could
good.
like kind of see the outline. That was very clever.
Absolutely. I said, bro, I love when they do whack fun things like that with invisible characters in any form of media, like when they get like oatmeal or, face paint or anything like that on an invisible person. But it's always like fascinating, like where does the invisibility start and stop? Does it stop at their normal clothes? Like,
Yeah, yeah, which we talked some on Bounty Hunt this week about. I don't remember what tech they were using in Bad Batch, but I was like, some questions you just don't need an answer to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, it's fun. That's all that matters.
Yeah, for sure. I do, unless anyone has any more thoughts on kind of that section, I do want to, there's a few more things later on I want to hit.
Yeah, which I feel like, you dropped a big bomb on me, right?
Yes. As
we're about to record, because there was something I did not pick up, which recontextualizes this whole thing.
Yeah. So at the very end, Ty kind of comes to this little like forest village to take on another job. She's doing monster hunting again, but they are trying to hire her to do defense against like a Nihil raiding party. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. And at the end, someone's like, hey, they're taking our kids. You need to they're taking the kids specifically with the Force, so probably the Children of the Storm are involved in some way, I'd imagine. But she's like, hey, you need to take my daughter so she doesn't get taken. Her name is Leen. And if you're an eagle-eyed fan or a eagle-eyed listener, you might recognize that name from Dooku Jedi Lost, Leen Castana. It's not confirmed that that's her. But Leen Castana is Sifo Dyas's master, also was purple, I know, from that book or audio drama. And yeah, maybe just showed up here for the first time in a comic book.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know that Sifo Dyas is a minor character with one major thing that
mm-hmm.
happens basically entirely off screen.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I did not expect that to show up here. The High Republic to Dooku Jedi Lost connections just keep coming. There are like actually quite an insane amount of them between, Kalias Terradine in Monster of Tenopel Peak and this.
That's made up.
Yeah, that was the dude that got in trouble at Space Harry Potter.
I've been saying this for months. I got to re-listen to that. But obviously, we've got Trinis being part of the fallen, the Lost 19.
We got this. We got Darth Krall. Mm-hmm. Ataraxia shows up in there. There are so many connections right now that I'll probably wait to re-listen to it till the very end, because I'm sure more things will pop up later.
That's a good point.
But yeah, it's pretty wild.
Absolutely.
Interesting, just looking into that, she would be pretty old to be Sifo Dyas, but not unheard of. I mean, we've got we've got Vern running around in the Acolyte.
Should be like 150 or whatever, probably.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of the math I was just looking up. And even in Legends, there's basically nothing for her species, so we don't know how long they live.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is her, because we know that Leen's got purple skin. This girl's got purple skin.
Cabin wrote
exactly. Cabin. So that's just really cool. Yeah, very neat.
Yeah. I feel like this could also be like a super important part here, because they seem to be introducing a lot about like the Children of the Force and what the Nihil are trying to do with these kids. Like I'm getting this minor flashbacks to Trails of Shadow. Trail of Shadows, mm-hmm. and how important that was, because we finally learned all about Nihil. And I'm just reading the comics. I haven't gotten too much into the novels themselves, but I feel like it would be nice to have like a little bit of backstory about the Children of the Force here.
Yeah, Children of the Storm, you mean?
The Storm, sorry, yes.
But yes.
Children of the Force was a novel series, I think.
Yeah, it'll make more sense when you get kind of to... well, you read Shadows. Shadows of Starlight kind of explained it a little bit, but Eye of Darkness definitely makes it a lot more clear.
Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, this is very in vogue right now, finding Force-sensitive kids, because that's what is happening in the Bad Batch.
Bad Batch.
I mean, it's been a common thing for Star Wars storytelling for a while. Jedi Fallen Order, all that, Clone Wars.
The High Republic Phase 3, with Skeev there. That's another Final Force child.
Skeer and the Children of Yacomb or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. So we've got that little kid over there, whatever is going on there. I have a very strong feeling this will tie in with Cavan's Marvel run, which he didn't really do in Phase 1, I feel like.
especially with like yeah Dark Horse and Marvel being a an area of connection, it would be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna necessarily cross over. I mean, there's nothing like legally preventing that from happening like there would be with, you know, like Spider-Man and whatever, but I don't know. We talk a lot about crossovers. What's too much? That we might push the boundaries here.
Yeah, we'll see. I also really liked another thing we didn't really talk about too much is her kind of traveling through space to get this other job. She's definitely within the OZ and having to deal with Scavroids. So that
and
was kind of
rams them.
Yeah, she's like whatever. She's like she's very it's very Anakin move of just like screw it. I'm just gonna fly straight through them and see what happens.
Definitely, like I like my money will fix my problems.
Mm-hmm. I also love the design of her ship. I don't know if we've talked about that much, but
yeah, it's just kind of like a circle.
Yeah,
it's fun to see like a ship that's not like that's more what is that vertical than it is horizontal. Yes. You know, it's taller than it is wide, and like you know what the only other ship that we know that's like that is Boba Fett's starship.
Yeah, that has the internal cockpit that turns.
Exactly, and everyone and that ship is like one of the dopest ones in Star Wars. So maybe they need to make more like you know. We love those ones, right?
Yeah, this and I guess it's still canonically called Slave One.
Yeah,
I know they don't say it.
Or the I guess other kind of interesting ships like that. The Outrider, I think, is Dash Rendar's ship, right?
Mm-hmm. That, yeah, but that's just
something. I don't know.
I think it can spin, but I think it's mainly just it's just an off variant of the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, there's now we're just getting into ship discussion, but in Andor, what's the Stellan Skarsgård?
The Fondor Starcraft or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That thing that he does. The
spinning lasers.
A very good
so
trick.
Sick.
Yeah. Just flipping through this issue, this is a total side thing, but who are these little guys that look like minions again? Aren't they from the trilogy?
Are they called like Bim or something like that? Does that sound right?
I don't know.
That
but
sounds about right.
Good to see them.
It was a dude in Resistance that was one, right?
I don't remember. Yeah, the Bim furred species doesn't seem to be the right thing. So I don't know.
Okay.
We did not.
What's the yellow dude from Star Wars Resistance?
I googled Star Wars minion looking character and it just came up with a lot of minion fan art. So was not what I was hoping for.
Oh, I found him. His name, yellow dude Star Wars Resistance got me a hit. The character in that was called OP Pit, but his species is Fregosian.
Okay.
So there you go.
Yeah, cool. OP Pit.
Like
and, oh, yeah. That now I'm pulling up. He's from that. I thought, for some reason, I thought they were a sequel trilogy thing, which I guess they kind of are, Star Wars Resistance.
Yeah.
And it seems this is maybe their first.
One in Andor. Interesting. Okay.
Especially, they look like they're more like furry than they are, or like they have feathers, you know?
Yeah, this is very much a sequel trilogy type thing. It first popped up in Tales from a Galaxy Far, Far Away, Aliens.
I love that book.
It's literally on the cover. Okay, well.
Okay, oh yeah, and they are in The Force Awakens. I was right. All right, was enough of a minion detour there.
A nice little Wook detour.
Yeah, we got to do this ahead of time. that's on me. That's 100% on me.
All right. Well. Cool. Any other kind of thoughts on this? I know we've been kind of blazing through them, but
like,
no,
like this one, it's fun to kind of compare this one to Mace Windu in that both of these, like a lot of it was just big action set pieces right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this one did a good job of like setting up like it. I kind of like where it ended is just like in the middle of like them explaining what's going on. Like Ty hasn't even had like a chance to say yes or no. But, you know, an orphan and a lost child and a pleading, like, mom and with a child on her hip are staring you down. Of course she's going to accept, you know.
Oh, yeah.
She's a soft spot for kids, too.
Yeah, she helped Ram get out of the prison back in The Rising Storm. She's a good guy, even if she doesn't pretend to be a Jedi. Now, the interesting thing is, I wonder if at the end of Phase 3, if she's going to go back to the Jedi. That is something I hadn't even really thought about. But what's his name? KL briefly mentions,
I think it's
that hot dude
Chloe.
Okay.
Cause I think it's named after Kevin's daughter. I think.
Oh, because at some points they call him or her Chloe, and some points she says KL. But anyway, the droid says, like, what about that hot guy from Valo? Like, talking about, because it was her and Elzar Man becoming close. So I wonder if we'll see them meet up again.
I think they definitely have to interact at some point. I don't know that I see Ty going back to the Jedi. But maybe, like, don't remember if Druin is force sensitive. Let's say he is, hypothetically. I could see her sending him to the Jedi for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. Or she at least, like, goes and, like, hey, I did this thing, I helped out, but I'm not sticking around.
Yeah. She got eventually, you know, obviously the paths got across with Kip and Jom. So
that's a good point. And, and I guess she's got to get, if this is Leen Kastana, she's got to get Leen to the Jedi.
Oh, I guess does this make her a seeker for the Jedi technically?
Yeah, right, it seems to be. She's Plo Koon of this era.
I definitely feel like she is. I personally think she's going to come back to the Jedi at the end of the phase. I think, you know, I feel like that's like the can. The point is that Ty is running away from her trauma doing the whole monster hunting thing, and if eventually she will heal past that and regain her place as a Jedi. I feel like, you know, at this point, being a Jedi is definitely a positive and a good thing. So I feel like that's where we're going to bring her character back to.
I like it. At least we'll get to see her, I think, interact with some Jedi. Plus, she's got to see Elzar's beard. I know he's shaved it by now.
Yeah. No, he still has beard on the cover of Temptation of the Force, right?
Does he? Oh, good. For some reason, I thought he shaved it in Eye of Darkness, but
I think he trimmed it up.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, yeah,
Still has a beard.
Leena So was falling for him hard. I think Ty York might come back to the Jedi for that beard,
dude. I think Ty York's a very maybe bi, but definitely is into women.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't she and Elzar hook up in the Rising Storm? Am I remembering that?
No, that's you're thinking of the girl that works at the Republic Fair.
Secretary.
It's like Samira or something like that.
Oh, see, I just went on this whole thing about a plot point that didn't happen.
Like her and Elzar did meet up and like fly like dragons together.
I knew that. I just was combining her with the other character. Yeah, which also very sick scene that you get to see in the free comic book day.
Oh, the sandballs. Yeah. They also have a very nice pick of it, or like piece of it, in Chronicles of the Jedi. Another shout out for that book as always. But yeah, cool. Any other thoughts on this issue?
No, I think my one thing is, like, I think there is a subset of people, probably not those who listen to this podcast, but who skip out on the Dark Horse stuff. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. I would say go pick this up
if you can, if you live in America.
Like this art, yeah, art trade.
Getting it can be difficult, and that's, you can get me talking on that later. It's good. Two, it feels like it's going to matter. Mm-hmm. I feel gross that I've talked about both of these comics in far as how consequential they are, but I think this one really is going to be.
Yeah, I think basically every High Republic miniseries so far has been like pretty heavy hitting and like had a serious impact on like the overall story.
Yeah, I would say Monster of Temple Peak is maybe the one exception, because it was sort of like almost an origin story for Ty kind of thing,
right? But at least it has kicked off a lot more of what she's now been doing.
Yeah, now it's like, oh well, that's important to this, which is important to that. So
yeah, for sure. But yeah, all right. Well, next week we have actually quite a few issues coming out. We have the first Darth Maul Black, White, and Red, which we got a preview of today. Jango Fett number 2, and High Republic Adventures number 5. So quite a stacked week. We'll have to kind of plan internally with what we're going to talk about. You know, maybe Darth Maul Black, White, and Red is the kind of thing where there's like almost no dialogue in it.
Is a preview out.
And it did have dialogue, but you never know.
Yeah, I think there's a very strong chance we will be talking about that book at the very least. I am super excited for it.
For sure. Might have a little, slightly longer episode. We'll see. We'll let you know. But just a quick reminder again, this episode of Bounty Hunt, this episode of the Cosmic Force is brought to you by Bounty Hunt. Had a little backwards there. If you like Star Wars television and love hearing me and Oz talk about our opinions on Star Wars, check that out every Thursday until we eventually get to Acolyte season. But hey, it's been a lot of fun for Bad Batch this season. But that'll do it for this week's episode of the Cosmic Force. Thank you so much for joining us. If you are looking for other great podcasts about Star Wars, nerd culture, and sports, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the Utini Podcast Network. We also appreciate it if you left a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to us. If you're already a proud member of the United on Patreon, thank you so much. An extra special thank you goes to Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bazinski on our High Council, our captains James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, and Chris Carrizo for all their amazing support. And head on over to Discord. We're continuing the conversation about this week's comics in the channel SW Comics. And a huge shout out to our editor, Kyle, for all this excellent work and getting us to your feed so quickly, and Wes for all this UT Network support. Thanks as always to our fantastic listeners. That's it for us this week. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you next time.